Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. From Goldilocks to Hansel and Gretel, we've all grown up with an innate fear and fascination with cabins in the woods. They're isolated, mysterious, and possibly dangerous. And that goes for movies too, with cabins in the woods a common recurring theme, especially in horror movies. So this week I'm looking at three such movies, all opening this weekend. There's A Fugitive in a House Made of Stone, a pair of twins looking for the Queen of Bones, and a young couple renting a place beside Bone Lake. Anemone, co-written and directed by Ronan Day-Lewis. Jem and Nessa, played by Sean Bean and Samantha Morton, are a comfortable couple raising their 19-year-old son, Brian, played by Samuel Bottomley. So why is Brian stuck at home in his room? Well, he got in a fight and nearly beat the other guy to death. He's depressed and frustrated and desperately needs the kind of help that they can't provide. So Nessa asks Jem to do something he swore he'd never do, find the man who disappeared 20 years ago. So Jem, armed with only a cryptic piece of paper with latitude and longitude numbers and a sealed letter from Nessa, he sets out for a journey into a forest somewhere in the UK. His clues lead him to a stone hut, literally in the middle of nowhere, and as he approaches, a grizzled old man almost blows his head off with a rifle, but just in time, he recognizes the sound of a clicking childhood toy. It's Ray, played by Daniel Day-Lewis, a fugitive from justice who has been hidden away all this time. He's somehow connected to a killing that occurred during the Troubles in Northern Ireland. Not only that, he's Jem's big brother. So what happened all those years back? What is Ray's connection to Nessa and Brian? And will he agree to come out of hiding? Anemone is a passionate and personal story about brothers, fathers, and family history. Along the way, there's lots of whiskey spilt and dirty jokes told, along with hiking and camping, punch-outs and wrestling. Lots of guy stuff, a man's own story. And it's filmed among spectacular scenery, a stone beach, a glowing moon, distant hills and mountains. Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous looking. Daniel Day-Lewis, who retires every 5 or 10 years and then makes another movie, puts a lot into his role. And Sean Bean is excellent as his foil. Samuel Bottomley seems like the next Barry Keoghan. And there are some cool dreamlike sequences. I even shed a tear near the end. But this movie, as a whole, just doesn't seem quite right. It's too contrived, too set up. I got a lot out of it aesthetically, but found it very hard to connect emotionally. It's directed by Daniel's son, Ronan Day-Lewis, and apparently the two of them wrote it together, but it's just okay. Not great. Maybe it's too weak a script and too strong an actor for a first-time director to handle. Queen of Bones, directed by Robert Boudreau. It's the 1930s in a small house deep in the woods near Portland, Oregon. Fraternal twins Lily and Sam are in their early teens. They were raised together by their single dad, a devout Christian, played by Martin Freeman. He's a craftsman who makes exquisite violins to order. Lily, played by Julia Butters, takes after her mom, a violin virtuoso, while Sam, played by Jacob Tremblay, is more interested in trains and cars. He wants to be a mechanic. though his family still rides a horse and buggy. Remember, this is the 1930s. Their father has always said their mother died before they were born, and it's a miracle they came out of it alive. But the twins wonder about what happened to her. And around this time, when they both reach puberty, Lily starts seeing strange cryptic signs carved into trees in the woods. What could they mean? She has dreams about wolves, and if she concentrates really hard, she thinks she can control the weather. Well, one day, Ida May, played by Taylor Schilling, a local shopkeeper, drops by their home. She flirts with the dad as they're both widowed, but she also leaves behind a trunk of the twins' mother's possessions that they have inherited from their late grandfather. It's full of shawls and dresses, but hidden at the bottom of the chest is a book of spells and incantations written by her mom. Lily hopes they can explain the mystery surrounding her mother, but they have to keep it hidden from their dad, who abhors anything related to witchcraft and keeps the twins separated from anyone but him. Who is the Queen of the Bones? Was their mama a witch? Did Lily inherit her powers, if she had any? And is there someone out there who can answer all these questions? The Queen of Bones is a fairy tale about a pair of twins trying to find a witch while evading their overprotective father. It's low budget and simple, but kind of neat. It's told in a series of short chapters leading inexorably toward a dramatic end. Though set in Oregon, the locations and some of the cast is Canadian, from Jacob Tremblay, he was the little boy in Room, to the great stage actor Claire Coulter. Julia Bitters is excellent as Lily. I like witches, I like fairy tales and cabins in the woods, so while not a terrific movie, I enjoyed it anyway. Bone Lake, directed by Mercedes Bryce Morgan. Sage and Diego are a professional couple heading for a luxury weekend in the country. Diego, played by Marco Pigossi, teaches creative writing at a community college but wants to write a novel. Sage, played by Maddie Hassan, is a freelance journalist known for her provocative features about things like sex toys. They're at a turning point in the relationship because Sage has agreed to take a desk job, an editing position, so Diego can pursue his dream of writing for a year. And unbeknownst to her, he plans to propose to her with his late grandmother's ring this weekend. But when they get there, the B&B they rented is far from the rustic cabin they expected. It's an enormous, elegant mansion on a huge lot surrounding or overlooking a lake. It seems way too fancy for what they paid, but they decided not to look a gift horse in the mouth. They settle quite nicely in their new digs until another couple shows up claiming they rented the house for the same weekend. Okay, Sage and Diego decide to go with the flow and let them share the place. It's a huge mansion. Remember? And the other couple happens to be younger, better looking, and scantily dressed. The appropriately named Sin, short for Cinnamon, played by Andra Nechita, looks like a model, and so does her boyfriend Will, played by Alex Rowe. While Sage and Diego are looking for some alone time, Sin and Will prefer games, both sexual and psychological, and together the two couples explore the locked rooms in the house. One quite sexual, another almost occult. So Sin and Will proceed to ingratiate themselves into Sage and Diego's lives, splitting them apart for intimate talks and possible seductions. But as the games turn serious, no one knows who to trust. Who is behind this weird house, and what do they want? Bone Lake is a psychological thriller about the relations between two couples in an isolated house in the woods. What starts out as a sex comedy gradually shifts into a violent thriller horror. There are hints from the very beginning. The opening scene involves a naked couple running through the woods pursued by unknown assailants carrying crossbows. But it's left ambiguous whether it's just a scene from Diego's novel he's writing or an actual event within the movie. While not entirely original, there's more than enough sex and violence to keep you interested. The acting's good and the tension is palpable. All in all, Bone Lake is pretty good horror. Anemone and Bone Lake both open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. And Queen of Bones is now available digitally and on demand. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and at my website, culturalmining.com.